Welcome to Double Burst, a podcast about Dice Masters. We are a group of Utah players that want to bring you the latest Dice Masters news, strategies, tips, and more. Whether you're a new or seasoned player, we hope this show has something for you. I'm KT Data, one of your hosts, and welcome to episode 26. In this episode, we'll be talking about our feature basic action, You've Been Chosen, understanding the Dice Masters lexicon, and an ode to that good old Avengers vs. X-Men set. So let's kick it off with our basic action. Okay, we are here with Dr. J and the KO King. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good.
I'm excited for this segment because it's our featured basic action. And this is our basic action this month is going to be You've Been Chosen from the Warlight set. Its ability is play only during your main step. Choose an energy type. All characters of that type must attack during their next attack step and deal no combat damage. If these characters aren't blocked, return them to the field instead of the use pile. I'd have to say that I gotta give Russ the credit for introducing me to this card, and as like one of those always floating in the back of my head if I'm in a draft and I need to pick a basic action card.
Oh yeah, this basic action I think is one of perfect example of one of those cards that is worded poorly, and people read it and they're just like, "That's awful. That action sucks."
Yeah, I think they focus too much on, well, if I don't block the characters, they go back to.
Yeah, they stay in the field.
So most players are like, well, that doesn't really do anything. It's useless.
But it's an awesome card. And the reason it's awesome is because it's a force attack that applies to, you know, a general type of character. So it's not targeting and they deal no damage when they attack. So you can block them freely however you want and knock out characters like crazy. You know, this is a perfect card to play against characters with one attack abilities that just totally hurt like crazy, like Serena. Perfect card to play against Serena. I mean, she'll still deal her ability damage, but she deals no attack damage. Or the Bard, I think, is a better example because you say shield characters have to block. Mm-hmm. They attack with the Bard. Sure, he gets the buff, but you don't have to worry about blocking that. Or if they have a bunch of morphing jars in the field with Bard, like two morphing jars or three morphing jars, you say mass characters have to attack, and you don't have to block those. You can block the other characters. Just a really good.
So one that I've been thinking of with this new set coming out is X-23. I think there's other ways to deal with her, but she has pretty poor defense. I think it's 2-4, maybe 5.
I don't even think it's a 5. It might top out at 4.
Yeah, it's pretty poor defense. Might even be 2-3-4. So her stats are pretty high on the attack. So if they can get rid of her any way possible, you know, that's definitely
You force her to attack, and it doesn't matter what her attack stat is. You block her and deal enough damage to knock her out, and you're solid.
I like to call this a wall buster card.
Exactly.
You've been in the slogs where it's just giant walls, and I love it where you can use this, and that will help you clear out that wall.
Yeah.
If you're running something like Beast from AVX, the 666, they're still blocking. So if you have when blocks abilities, this is a great card to use against it because you're not going to get knocked out. It allows you to keep blocking freely and gain the benefits.
The common cyborg from Green Arrow Flash is a great card to play with this because his ability is when he blocks and knocks out a character, they go to the used pile. So you just force a bunch of characters to attack. They deal no damage. You block them with cyborg and they go to the used pile. You know, or if you have a big beefy character and you want to get one of theirs out of the field, you force it to attack, you block it and get it out. I think it's just such a freaking good basic action. I love it.
I think it's one of those things where players get focused on the one line that says, if unblocked, they go back to the field. There's a lot of very strong offensive characters in the game that have low defensive stats, and this is how you get rid of them. Bard, this is the kind of stuff you pair with Constantine for Bard. Force the attack, they deal no damage, and you just keep forcing that attack. Same with Gorilla Grodd. As soon as they filled that Gorilla Grodd, you know, if this happens to come out next turn, you can get rid of all that overcrush.
An important thing to remember, though, is this applies to your characters as well as theirs. So if you're running, you know, if you have a Constantine in the field, but they have a Bard and you want to force their shield characters to attack, your Constantine has to attack. So what I like to do is I like to try to call energy types that I don't have in the field and then use it. I think that's the best way to go. What's really nice is if your opponent has no characters in the field, but you know something's coming that you want to get out of the field, you call it. Your characters attack. They don't deal any damage. They come back. And then when they field that Constantine or whatever on their next turn, he has to attack. So it's a good way to remove troublesome characters that you know are coming, like Constantine, Oracle, other control cards.
Yeah. So there's two ways that I'd play this. Is those really strong characters with low attack, low defensive stats. And the second would be with blocking characters, specifically Beast. I think Beast does great abilities. There's a few different ones when blocks, because they're going to stay there, and you kind of force them that way.
I put this on my Black Lantern Martian Manhunter team, because his ability is when he blocks and knocks out a character, they lose life equal to the level of that character. One of the problems that we have around here is they ruled the card. He had to stay in the field in order for the ability to trigger. I do too, but that's the way we ruled it. So I'm like, how am I going to keep him alive? So I use You've Been Chosen so that he can block and takes no damage. And that way he'd knock out the characters and they'd lose life. So it was really fun for my force attack team.
All right. So with this card, it is a four cost. When do you recommend buying it? Do you want to do it late game or mid game or early game? I can't imagine you wanting it to do early game.
Actually, I think it works pretty good as an early game card because it can keep their field really thin if you get it and you start cycling it early. The problem is it's a four cost, so you know you have to set aside the time to buy it. But the sooner you can get it, I think the sooner it'll start working for you.
If it's on a four, like a more of a competitive type environment, you know, where I'm really trying to get certain things out of the field, I think it depends on what my opponent's doing. If I put it on a competitive team, it's there to get rid of certain things, mm-hmm. Especially because it's one of these actions that your opponent's probably not going to buy. You know, there's a lot of players that don't understand all the actions. So this does work on a competitive team if, you know, pay attention to what they have when they start fielding stuff. For instance, if I had this and my opponent had X23, I'm buying it very fast.
Yeah.
So,
And then in terms of draft, I think your recommendation was to try and draft one of every energy type, right? And then just look at what your opponent has on the other side when you're playing them.
Yeah, this is one of those that goes really well with a draft team with one of every energy, and the other one is pick your battles. You know, so if you draft that way, it's really nice. I'm not a huge mono energy, so I tried to take advantage of.
Yeah, You've Been Chosen can wreck mono energy teams. It also really hurts crossover characters, because if your opponent has some crossover characters in the field, you just have to call one of those two energy types and they have to attack. I got this played against me when I drafted a White Lantern Sinestro. I could not keep him in the field ever, because it was just like, didn't matter what he called, White Lantern Sinestro was gone. So.
See, and that's good also with a ring team. Granted, it wouldn't stop the ring damage, so it would be timing. You'd want to make sure your opponent didn't have a lot of ramp that turn. But it's one of those things you can get rid of a lot. I think it's really good to get rid of swarmers.
Oh, yeah.
I know a lot of people are really excited for multiple man. I know I've voiced my opinion on that, but they don't have strong defense. This is another thing that's not targeting, but it's force attack.
This is one of the best counters to the Wonder Ring combo too, because it doesn't target, it forces Wonder Girl to attack in those situations, and they can't redirect anything. So it's a great way to get her out of the field if you think you're going to go up against that.
Yeah, if you're running a force attack, this is a good option, because it's not targeting. Don't get caught up in that it goes back to field if it's not blocked. All you do is block it. Your guys aren't going to get KO'd. And you can KO their guys.
Yeah. And that works for you, too. I mean, if your character's attack and they're not blocked, they come back. So it goes both ways.
Yep. All right, guys. So we want to hear from you. If you guys get inspired to use You've Been Chosen, or if you've had experience with this card, we'd love to hear from you. Shoot us an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. Gentlemen, thank you so much. We'll have both of you back later on in the show. Okay, guys, we are back with Dr. J and Ken Poole. How are you gentlemen doing tonight?
Fantastic.
Really good.
So I'm a little excited for this segment because this is one I believe that a lot of new players will benefit from, and we're calling it Dice Master's Lexicon. So we want to not only kind of cover some keywords, but we also want to cover how the sentence structure and how WizKids actually writes some of these cards out, how you should interpret and play them, because we probably can agree that some of the writing can be confusing, especially for a new player.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten on one of our Facebook pages and seen somebody ask, you know, a new player ask a really basic question. And, you know, people are usually generally really nice and answer them. But we wanted to give you guys, you know, just a really quick rundown of what these different words mean. And you're right, they can be really confusing.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Recently on one of our rules updates, I think it's probably been the most controversial one, or the one at least we've gotten the most messages from, was when we were talking about that baby dragon and the when attacks. So yeah. Like even veteran players can get confused from time to time on how it's written and how it should be played, right?
Yeah, exactly. This is a good segment for everybody, but especially for those new players. Mm-hmm.
So first off, how about we start out with their sentence structure? The one thing that I find is semi-unique in Dice Masters is they can have multiple effects on the card, but they don't separate them. It's just in one line, you know, in that text box, and it just goes 3, 4, 5 sentences, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of like run-on sentence kind of things. You know, they really could work on putting the periods in to separate the different abilities.
Yeah, but usually I think the general rule of thumb is if you do see a period, that's the end of one effect.
That yep. separates
yeah.
things.
And,
yeah.
And then whatever's next after that is most likely another effect. There are, of course, a few caveats to that. But
yeah, that's one of the things you got to look for, caveats. You've got to kind of be on the search for those. There's a lot of if this, then that, and you've got to understand where that if ends. Most of the time that applies to spin something up and do something else.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes they separate that by a period, sometimes they don't, and sometimes, a lot of the time, if you spin something up and you can't spin up that character, there's times where you can do the following ability and there's times that you can't.
Yeah. I think one of the examples that I think is a good example that you'll probably see in play is the Red Dragon Global ability. It says, once per turn, pay a bolt, period. So you literally could just do that much because part of the WizKids rulings is doing as much as you can. So you could,
yeah.
if you need to get rid of an extra bolt for some reason, you could just
DXG.
Pay that. Yeah. And so that's period. And then the rest of it, when you purchase your next action die this turn, it costs 2 less to a minimum of 1 and you deal 1 damage to your opponent. I've seen new players get confused too, saying, don't you automatically take the 1 damage? Like, no, you have to buy the action
die.
Only
if you buy an action.
And that's different from like the Blue Eyes Global that says pay bolt and knock out a character. That is the whole cost there, whereas the Red Dragon is, you know, pay bolt, period. So you have to watch for the periods and see when certain effects end.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that they tend to do is they tend to insert little clauses in the middle of abilities. So it'll say, you know, do this, comma, insert this useless ability that we hate, comma, and then end it. You know, if you listen to our Rerouta That segments, a lot of them are just us complaining about the sentence structure and how it screwed up a really good card. Deck of Many Things is an excellent idea of really poor word choice. So you do got to watch for the commas as well.
Yeah, and I think actually, so another one, we were kind of talking that some cards do have multiple abilities. A good example of that is Vulture Adrian Tombs. When you read it, it says, when Vulture blocks, deal 1 damage to each attacking character die, period. When any character die leaves the field zone, Vulture gets +4 attack until end of the turn. Those are 2 separate abilities. It's not just one or the other.
And they had to errata it because that second ability is really, really strong.
Yeah.
this also kind of tends to apply to the sets that we have right now. The Deadpool set, I feel like they're getting better at separating the abilities. Like the super rare Captain America with Mjolnir, they have 2 abilities on it, but there's a clear spacing in between the 2.
It's almost set up as different paragraphs.
Yeah.
I really like that and hope that they use that more in the future.
Yeah. So,
and at the other end of that, in the Deadpool set, they also have Negasonic Teenage Warhead, which has Underdog, then defines Underdog, and then has the Underdog ability.
Yeah, that's right. Also, keep in mind that a lot of the times the stuff in the parentheses isn't part of the ability. It's just more explaining a reminder. Yeah, it's reminder. Yeah,
the parenthetical text is reminder text. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And
it's not always complete.
Yeah. And I also do remember that they actually posted in the WizKids forum one time saying that some of these newer abilities are better refined versions of what they had written previously. So I think it kind of goes back to what you were saying before, where don't try to overcomplicate some things, where especially those older sets where they're still trying to get their feet wet, understand the best way to phrase and put things down.
I think a perfect example of that is I think Heroic turned into Team Watch. I think that's mm-hmm. exactly what they did. They tried making Heroic, found that it wasn't as synergistic as they thought it would be, and they renamed it that in a way that was more fitting in the spirit of what I think Heroic was supposed to be.
Yeah, we have... if you guys don't know, the KO King is not agreeing with us right now.
Especially go back to like AVX, I mean, there's some poor wording in there. Doctor Strange talks about when you use an action.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't specify an action or an action die because there wasn't the issue back then.
Yeah, fast forward now to the newer ones. They specifically say action die. I think there's a blue dragon that says action ability or effect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, but... that's why you go to the WizKids rules forum, you read up on specific cards, and hopefully they've answered that question.
Or something similar that you can apply.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Though of course, you know, they can't answer every question, or that'd just be an insane job.
Yeah. Well, and looking for the different questions when you have a question, there's some people that sometimes seem annoyed by constant rules questions, but really between the Facebook groups and Reddit and stuff, there's a lot of hive mind stuff that people will know exactly what to look up. So, you know, maybe you're asking about a damage ruling and the best reference for it is something to do with Iron Will. You're not necessarily going to jump right into Iron Will, but you asking your question might jog someone else's memory and they'll go, there was an Iron Will ruling that applies perfectly to this, and they can often link you to it. So don't be afraid to ask questions mm-hmm. on mm-hmm. the different forums.
Yeah. So now that we've kind of got a little bit more of sentence structure, I wanted to go with timing of the ability sometimes, because that, I think, probably is one of the most confusing aspects of some of the text is when does this effect go off, or is it automatic, or does it stack is always another question. So let's start out with probably the easiest one is the while active abilities.
Active abilities, they happen once, you know, usually once a turn or something, but they only trigger once no matter how many dice you have in the field.
Or it's a singular constant state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
While exactly. active, this die has plus X or something like that. That is going to be a one time, but it is a constant. It is all of the one time.
Yeah, exactly. So if you could have two Constantine Hellblazers in the field, you're only getting the effect for one.
Yeah, you only can name one character.
Yeah, you don't get to name two. And that's all while active abilities.
An example that I see often is the super rare Groot from Age of Ultron, Groot, We Are Groot. While Groot is active, all your other fielded characters get plus three. That plus three is plus three defense. That plus three is always constantly for the defense.
It's only plus three. If you field four Groots, you only get to give your other characters plus three. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It doesn't stack up. You don't get to make it 12 because you purchased all of your Groots.
Yeah, and if you do switch it, that plus three is still on the defense. They've actually ruled that.
Yeah, with the while active, the static effects, like while active effects, you cannot swap those with things like, what is it? With Ant-Man Global, you can't swap those, but you can swap applied effects. So if there's a when fielded that gives a buff to defense, you can flip that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that, actually. So it's a good thing we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Yay, learning.
Yeah, there's a little bit of nuance to it, and that's what I like about this game is there's a little bump and you kind of learn how to play it, but then to master it, there's a few of these things. And that's why I think this segment's important. Another one that we hear often is when attacks or when blocks. When do those abilities kind of go off? This is a little bit more of a timing question, but they're similar in when they actually go off.
Yeah, the when attacks abilities I find can be some of the most confusing because they do stack. And since they stack, lots of times people are like, that can't be right. That's too strong of an ability. Well, they do stack.
At a certain point, they decided to add in a like sub-level of the timing, because originally it was you assign all of your characters to attack and then resolve one attack's abilities. And yeah. then they threw in that Beholder and
when
the Thanos.
First, yeah, when first.
When this is the first assigned to attack. Okay, so now there's a like sub-timing to the attack step that you have to activate those abilities in a specific order.
And it's also... Yeah,
and like we said, these go for more than one die. And the way I kind of treat and tell people how to interpret when attacks is the act of physically moving each of those die that trigger... Each time you do that, that's going to trigger it. And that's how you... Even with blockers, that's the way I kind of view it. So people ask, hey, can I use this effect more than once? I'm like, no, because you only moved that one character from the field zone to the attack zone one time.
Yeah, and without getting too deep into it, the breath weapon abilities on the dragons in D&D are not when attacks affects. That one does not stack. So if you have three blue dragons in the field, you only get to use one breath weapon.
It's closer to a while active.
Yeah, and it's assigned to attack.
Yeah, basically the breath weapons amount to a while active, they have the ability that the timing of doing the ability is it requires that that active character to be assigned to attack.
Exactly.
Which even saying that feels confusing.
Yeah. We're not just saying all breath weapons at once. It's like, so if you have a red, blue, green, purple, whatever color dragon, they all can activate their breath weapon once.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The different dragons can each do it one time, which can be really, really fun.
There are also some abilities that you can use during a turn, like a while active ability where you can activate it when you can play a global. And we talked about this in one of the ruling sections a couple of weeks ago, and it was the one that apparently I got the baby dragon wrong. I'm fine with admitting that. But there are some abilities like the synergy abilities or Black Canary from Justice League. You pay them, you know, during a turn or during an attack step. If it's while active and it doesn't limit you, you can use it as many times as you want. During the attack step, you can only use it once. Mm-hmm. Learn my lesson.
It is triggered off of each die being assigned to attack, and it is applied to whatever the target is. In the case of Baby Dragon, the die that is attacking can do it one time, and it is applied to that die. So you can do it four times if you have four attacking Baby Dragons, but you can't stack them all onto one Baby Dragon.
It's for
each one
those,
gets the plus
one
two.
Yeah, there's also a little bit of a nuance when you do when attacks abilities, since you know they threw in this whole you have like this character has to be the first to attack, then you trigger the ability. The rule is you assign all of your characters to attack, and then after they're assigned to attack, then you resolve all the when attacks abilities. So if you have four Black Widow's arenas
before,
in the field,
before your opponent even can declare blockers, right?
Exactly. So before
and you can assign and you can resolve them in the order of your choosing if there's timing conflicts within that.
Exactly.
And the same goes for on the blocking side of it. The person assigning to block chooses the timing of their when blocks abilities.
But you cannot, like if you have three Black Widow's arenas in the field, attack with one, do the effect, then attack with another, then do the effect, and then attack with another. You have to assign all your attackers before you can use their abilities.
All right. So I think we've kind of covered the structure, kind of those when attacked, when blocks types abilities. I call them the comma triggers.
Right.
Usually there's a comma. Do we want to cover some keywords real quick that we'll see?
We should also probably real quick hit on when can you do globals.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So globals are a little bit different because, again, there's only two windows if it's not your turn.
Different because everyone has access to them.
Yeah.
A while active ability is while your character is active. You know, there are a few now that affect your opponent's characters while yours is active, but only you can activate it versus any global that you bring your opponent can use against you.
Yeah. I think one of the globals that a lot of people kind of get confused about is those can't blocks, the non-banned ones, or things that affect that, and they want to play it in the attack phase after, you know, after blockers have been declared.
Yeah, any of the must attack, must block, can't attack, or can't block has to be done in the main step before moving on to the attack, because if it cannot attack but it is already attacking, you are too late.
Yep. Because I've seen that a couple times where people, I can't do that. I'm like,
and it's important to remember that those all happen after blockers are assigned. So you can't assign your attackers and then tell your opponent that they can't block with something. You're too late.
Yeah.
They get to block whatever they're doing, and then you can.
You can't use globals in your attack step. So just remember that when you attack, you have to wait until after they assign blockers. So you can't play globals before your opponent assigns blockers in the attack step. Yeah. So make sure
between blocker, really it's the between assigned blocker effects happening and assigning damage is the opportunity. So you've got to wait for all of your opponent's blockers to be declared.
Then you use your action dies also.
Yeah, action
Action dies and globals are simultaneous.
Mm-hmm.
During that step, you can't use your action dice in the attack step until after blockers are assigned.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sort of the sidecar of globals is the newish synergy abilities. They can be used anytime that you could use a global, but your opponent cannot use those.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Zatanna, the super rare Zatanna, is one that a lot of people are interested in, and she's really good. So while she's active, you can pay a fist and a mask to reroll all opposing sidekick dice in the field zone and reserve pool. You can do that on your opponent's turn at the correct opportunities for you to do a global.
Exactly.
And on your turn, basically, at any time you want before the attack step.
Also, something that I would say to the newer players is when you're reading an ability, look for the attack steps. Familiarize yourself, or not the attack steps, familiarize yourself with what the different phases of the round are. You have your clear and draw step, you have your roll and reroll step, you have a main step, an attack phase, and then clean up. So if it says before your opponent's roll and reroll step, that is after their clear and draw step. But if it says at the beginning of their turn, that's before they draw any dice at all. So familiarize yourself with what the different phases of the round are. And that way, it'll make certain abilities easier to
And if you do want to familiarize yourself with turn order, we did a whole entire segment on this where we broke down everything step by step for you. Check out episode 10 of the Double Burst podcast. Go to doubleburst.com and you can find it. And it's one of the first segments that show up in the show. So so before we have to go, because we're running a little long on time, what are some kind of keywords and stuff that you may want to highlight that you may see often? Because I don't think we'll see heroic that often in a competitive play.
One of the most common that people will see is overcrush when attacking. If this character KOs all of its blockers, that's important.
Yeah.
It has to KO all of the blockers, or they are removed for other reasons. So if that blocker is captured I believe it works when they're distracted.
It's when they're just captured or when they leave the field or KO'd.
Yeah. Mm. So if it KO's all of its blockers or they're removed for other reasons, it deals any remaining damage to your opponent.
Yeah. And if you're playing some of the older cards like Throne Car from AVX, it will be written in the form of I can't remember the exact wording, but it's damage done in excess to the blocker's printed cost or something like that.
In excess to the defense. With that, it's important to know that they have to be KO'd. So if you're attacking with an overcrusher and it is blocked by something with Iron Will, if that Iron Will character has not been damaged in any other way, it will not be KO'd and your overcrush fizzles at that point. And on the flip side of that, if a character is captured, all of the attack goes through. Because there's no longer any defense.
Yeah, it's essentially zero defense at that point. Yeah.
Look at the Ultron from the Age of Ultron starter and pair that with Grodd. Super nasty.
Yeah.
Super nasty.
And kind of along with that, Crud, I forgot what I was going to say.
That's right. I actually would highlight Fast. Fast is one that can be confusing at times because it has to deal with assigning damage.
And it's a weird timing window, too.
Yeah, exactly.
You normally don't see.
Yeah, what it does is creates an additional timing
window. Yeah, so whoever has Fast deals all their damage first. If they deal enough damage to the opponent to knock it out, they take no damage at all.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of fast coming into the game, especially with Deadpool mm-hmm. and the Green Arrow Flash set. So familiarize yourself with what fast does.
Yeah. I actually like how you described that, because when I first read fast, I'm like, I don't quite understand this, because they wrote it kind of really weird.
Yeah.
In the terms of it, I think the other keyword, because fast is a big one, the other keyword that we'll probably see a lot more now is swarm.
Yep.
And this is a question I hear often is, swarm only triggers during your roll and or during your draw and clear,
clear and draw step.
Your clear yep. and draw step. Because I've heard people, you know, they may use a superhero registration act. I'm like, doesn't swarm trigger? I'm like, no, it's only in your clear and draw step, where if you draw another swarm character when you have one fielded, then you draw an extra die.
And the reminder text on the new multiple man clarifies this perfectly. So look at that card if you really
want to. I'm not cool enough to have one yet, so I don't know.
Well, go yeah. get one. Oh, my gosh. It's not that hard. You just open a couple packs and you get it.
And get a red stripe. Okay.
Swarm is also one of the few effects that it is a while active effect, but it does stack in a way. So if you draw one character with Swarmer, you will draw an extra die. If that one is another Swarmer, you will draw another
keep
die.
The same character swarmer, too.
Yeah. So. Yeah, exactly.
You basically keep drawing until you don't draw one of your swarmers. And it doesn't have to be the same character swarmer. If you have a goblin and a kobold, and you draw a kobold in your initial step, and that fifth die that you draw is a goblin, it swarms also. Yeah,
that's assuming yeah. that the goblin and kobold
yeah.
are on the field.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Yeah.
They have to be active, but it does kind of stack.
Ish.
Sort yeah. Of, yeah, I mean, it's more like a chain than
yeah.
a stack,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, it is.
But.
It is.
All right, so are there any other keywords you guys want to cover?
No, I would just say check out the rule yep. books. Most of the rule yep. books list them.
And speaking of the rule books, my suggestion is to check the most recent one, which is the Turtles right now. And also keep an eye on the keywords page on the WizKids website, because they do consistently update those to have the most up-to-date keywords.
They even... sometimes throw in keywords to sets that yeah. aren't even out yet.
Yeah. So.
Also, check in on the Double Burst FAQ
oh, yes.
for more information.
Yes, we do have a lot of clarification. And we also, you know, if you have questions on wording and stuff, all of us, we love this game so much, and we've dissected sentences and stuff. If you do have a question, do not hesitate to contact us. You can always shoot us an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net, or just leave it on our Facebook page. Send us a message via Facebook, facebook.com/doubleburst. Guys, I appreciate you guys talking about, especially this is a very complicated subject.
Yeah. And yeah. Everyone, like, seriously, ask the hive minds of Facebook, Reddit, the various social media communities.
You can even post on our Facebook page.
Yeah. And feel free to ask us as well. Yeah. We're happy to help.
Yep. All right. So we will get you guys back where we're going to go back in time and act like old geezers when I was a young kid.
Back in my day.
All right, guys. We are back with the full crew. We got Dr. J, Ken Poole, and the KO King, the guys who actually have nicknames for. Guys, if you're listening to this, I got to figure out a good nickname for Zach, and I'm running out of ideas, so shoot me an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net. But I brought all of you guys together to look back, especially with the newest Marvel set, Deadpool, being out. I thought it was a good time to look back and see an old set released in April 2014, Avengers versus X-Men. The first Dice Master set that came out. Were any of you guys playing when that first set came out?
Absolutely not.
No, but I wasn't too far behind it.
So, yeah, before I want to go anywhere more into this, so since none of us were playing back then, we missed out on this amazing commercial that you can find on WizKids' website on the AVX page.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah, we'll have the video in the show notes, but just listen to some of the text or some of the audio they have on this. This is
good
amazing.
Stuff.
Wait till you see how they're playing against each other. Kitty corner.
You really have to watch it.
Introducing an all-new dice battle game where you can create the ultimate supergroup and compete in head-to-head battles in the all-new collectible dice building game. Marvel Dice Masters.
Boom.
Some of the most insanely awesome Marvel superheroes like Iron Man, Captain America, Wolverine, and more. Collect and assemble the ultimate team
that
fits your play style, knock out opponents, and reduce their life points to zero to win. Marvel Dice Masters. Collect all 38 heroes. Each foil pack sold separately from WizKids. Contains two cards and two dice for just 99 cents.
It's the next biggest thing. Get them today at your local Toys R Us store.
Right? You can play head-to-head at a weird angle.
Yeah. I also realize we've been pushing our dice wrong when we're doing attack steps. Yeah. So, yeah, I need to change that.
You got to push it with the tips of your fingers.
Haphazardly push them away like you're disregarding them. Like you never want to see them again. Everybody, you seriously need to look at our show notes and watch that video.
Well, they are playing with AVX cards. I would like to see that done with more AVX dice. Just put them away and disregard them.
I'm not sure I get that excited right after I roll either.
He's like doing a massive fist pump thing. It was good stuff.
Yeah, playing at a 90 degree angle from your opponent. Yeah, so, you know, head to head, you know, kind of. I mean,
yeah. So, but I think it's kind of fun to look back because, you know, we don't actually see a lot of AVX cards anymore being played in AVX. Casual, you still do see a couple.
Locally, you don't.
You still hear about the big, like, three or four,
which you are, you know, your Hulk, Serena, Gabi.
Yeah.
We're not going to be talking about those guys.
No,
we wanted to feature some of our favorite ones that we saw in the past. So who wants to start out?
Deadpool.
You have a whole set now.
I know, but Deadpool was obviously fanboy. Him being included in the first set was instrumental in me getting into the game. I looked it up. I was like, Deadpool's in it. I'll try it out. My wife was actually more interested in the game to start off with than I was, because when we started was when Uncanny was on the shelves between like first and second printing of AVX. So for me to get on board with it, there was Deadpool, and so I was into it. And his common from AVX, when he attacks, you may assign an opposing character to block him. At the end of the turn, knock out that character. He had Deadly. Mm-hmm. He had Deadly before they put Deadly into the Deadpool set, and it's awesome.
Aren't there a couple of cards in the new Deadpool set that specifically mention do something with Deadpool, and you can use him with this AVX one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's. I know Sandy Brandenburg does stuff with Deadpool. I can't remember the others. There's been information overload in the past week or
all
so.
The Deadpools.
Looking at so much stuff.
I was like, it's so awesome. You can go back and use it with the AVX one, but he's basically the same thing. So.
Yeah, he's got more defensive stats. His stats are 2-4, 2-5, and 3-7. So the new one is a better attacker, not by a whole lot, but the old one is a much better defender.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. J, what's kind of one of your cards you wanted to talk about?
Rare Angel. The reason that I picked this is because we did an AVX draft here a while back. We just happened to have somebody who got his hands on a couple of feeds and let us draft them. And Rare Angel was like the only thing that I drafted that was worthwhile. And so that's what I drafted, played with it. He wasn't as good when AVX came out because there weren't as many action dice in the game. But now that you've got this really heavy action dice.
He has a perfect pairing, in my opinion, and you and I have played this with Frontline.
Oh, with the Frontline. Absolutely. Also, you slap a rare Ring of Magnetism on him and all your characters are basically unblockable. Mm-hmm. And he's got a really good ability. And with that pair up with the front line, it's disgusting.
I think he's also the only character that I've ever used True Believer with that gives him +2/+2 attack.
Oh, right.
he's unblockable now. Go.
He's great with any buffing action. I mean, there's a couple in the new set. I know that there's Chimichanga's buffs defense, but still, I mean, you can buff his defense and flip it with one of the globals. Is there a flying car that buffs?
Yeah, the flying car, when you field them, they get +2 attack. That's one.
Yeah, but that's not when you use the action.
Well,
yeah.
So what?
But
you can use a different action. There's lots of action.
But any buffing action with him is going to be great.
And his big selling point, I think, 2-cost shield. So he's a really cheap shield character, and he can be really nasty.
For some reason.
And he's got, I mean, respectable stats for 2-cost.
He tops out a 3-3.
2-2, 3-3, 3-4.
Oh, yeah.
WizKids loves making amazing 2-cost shield characters. Have you guys noticed this?
They've made like 4 2-cost shield characters, and they're all good, so.
There's only 4 energy types, Russ, and 2-cost makes things really playable.
Yeah.
there's like 1,600 cards in the game. Yeah, there's going to be some 2-cost shields that are good.
All right, so now that we've wailed on the KO King, what's one of your favorite AVX cards so you can shut all
of them? Probably something lame and dumb.
It's not Scarecrow, right? Because he's not in that set.
He's not? No. Oh, okay. No, I'm actually going to pick some aggro cards, which are way different for me. But some of my favorite aggressive characters are in this set. There is Cyclops, If Looks Could Kill, the uncommon. And it amazes me how little play he gets. Because his attack stats are 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, and his ability is when he's assigned to attack before blockers are assigned, he deals his attack damage or attack and damage to each opposing character.
Right. So I understand he's a 7 cost, but on level 3, 1 fielding cost, 6 attack, that's a 6 breath weapon free. Just bam.
Yep.
That was ridiculous. Play a blue eyes and get him down to like a 3 cost or something. Buy him. Man, he's nasty. I've played against him a couple times, and it just makes you feel like your wall is paper. Like, just like wrapping, like not even like good paper, like that that paper that you...
The newsprint?
Like Kleenex? Yeah.
Like that, the paper you stuff in gift bags or whatever.
Oh, yeah, like wrapping.
Yeah, that crap. Yeah. It's like just gone. Yeah. Like your whole wall is gone once Cyclops attacks, and it's just game over at that point.
Yeah, there's not a lot of characters that have over 6 defense.
Yeah. It's, oh man, playing against him is not fun when they actually buy him.
So, he gets overlooked. Yep. He's one of those that are in the set because it's not named Gobby.
You don't need to give him over Chris, never mind.
It's not named Gobby or Serena, so, you know.
he's a really good one because it happens before the blockers are signed, so you can just walk whatever else you've got in the field through.
It's like, do-do-do-do-do.
Yeah.
And if there's anything left in the field, it's got like 1 defense left anyway, so he's going to block. And their entire field is going to be gone once you're done with Cyclops.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the ones that I'm a fan of, and I guess in honor of the most recent movie that just came out, guys, go watch Doctor Strange in IMAX 3D. IMAX 3D. It's a must.
Seriously.
The one I wanted to pick was Doctor Strange, Master of the Mystic Arts. And his ability is, while Doctor Strange is active, each time you use an action, he deals 2 damage to a character or opponent, no matter how many dice are fielded. This is probably, especially now that our meta has gotten a little bit more action heavy than it was in AVX, is awesome, especially with Superhero Registration Act. Because
but he's not as good as the Doctor Strange in the team pack, is he?
No, this one's better, man.
I will say our meta is very action heavy.
Yeah.
And you play against this team pretty often here in Utah.
Yeah, and I like the team that I've put together for it because I really only need to play 4 action die in this game.
You know, he is one of the characters that his stats just really rubs me the wrong way. I hate Doctor Strange's stats because, like, level 1, okay, fine. Level 2, he's a little bigger. Level 3, he gets stupid big. Like, he's got, like, an 8,
yeah,
9.
He's an 8, 9 on his level.
Yeah, what's his level 2?
5'8".
He's got big defensive stats across the board. I mean, 4'6", 5'8", 8'9".
Yeah, I gotta survive against that Cyclops.
Every time I play against someone, they roll him on level 3, and I'm like, I can deal with 5 attack. I can't deal with 8 attack.
And this is what happens when you play against him, at least locally, the way Kevin and Alex and some others play him, is they buy cheap actions. They use those actions to buy Doctor Strange, and they get him out as fast as you can, and it's just a... It's just a race.
Yeah.
You have to outpace it.
They'll do that and or use Superhero Registration Act to chain Superhero Registration Acts. So you go, all right, you know, he's got 2 Superhero Registration Acts over in the used pile. I'll probably survive this turn. Nope. He draws that 3rd one, and then he's reloading his bag with those other 2, and they definitely come out.
Yeah, he's hard to shut down once he's out, and especially if you roll him on level 2 or 3, like he is so hard to remove with those defense stats.
So. Yep. So speaking of removal, what's your other AVX card that you kind of like to want to talk about?
Storm. And I don't want to talk about it because I like it. I want to talk about her because I'm constantly getting ruined by her.
Yeah, because the Brown Messiah, yeah, Diego,
he's like his girl, man. Yeah.
Can I also tell you, I beat him in a draft using the new Storm, and he was like crushed morally because I used it. Yeah.
He felt betrayed by his boo.
It's funny that, you know, every time we get ready for a WKO, we're all brewing, we're trying these teams. Diego will start to look at something else, and then a week later, down the process, he's got Storm back.
Yeah, he starts off trying to not use Storm, and she always comes back onto his team.
Yeah, but specifically, I want to talk about Windrider, the 5 cost, and that is when she's fielded, you reroll 2 of your opponent's characters, And if they roll energy, they go to the used pile, and they deal 2 damage for each. Diego, every time I play against him, man, for some reason I field sidekicks. And he's like, reroll those 2 sidekicks. I'm like, great, 4 damage, because they're not coming back up characters.
Yeah.
Except for when I run Storm, everybody rolls the sidekicks again. And they come
back. Yeah, he works for everyone. She doesn't work for everyone, but she works for Diego. Also, check out her other ones. She's got one that rerolls all of your opponent's fielded characters and then knocks them out if they roll energy. Storm is she's one of those ones that like every version of her is worth looking at. That
especially in AVX.
That 4 cost that wipes out everything and goes to the used pile. That is a great combination with X-23 from the new set.
You mean the prep area?
Yeah, the prep area.
Yeah.
Yep. So you go to the prep area. That gives you more dice to field.
I should also say she has incredible stats for what she needs to do, because with the 5 cost, you want to keep fielding her. She's got crap defense stats, so it is so easy to get her back out of the field so you can re-roll her.
2-1, 2-2, and 3-2. Pretty easy to get rid of her again.
Yeah.
Also, with Windrider, they made an alt art.
She's
one of the uncommon versions of the starter characters, which in AVX, all of those had a max of 5 dice. Except if you use the alt art, it has a printed max of 4.
I'll still use it.
So you get to use a fancier card, but less dice.
That is a good time to bring up that if you're playing AVX cards, look at the max dice. They are all over the place, man.
Some of them have no max dice, like Spider-Man.
They eroded that. Yeah, but there are a couple that you got to go online to find out what the actual max is, because it's not printed.
Yeah, we're not saying that Dr. J may have showed up one time to an event with like 10 Spider-Man dice.
It doesn't say on the card. Yeah,
but there's characters with 2, 3, 4, and characters specifically the same character that has that range.
Yeah, very range. So speaking of characters that I know that have a different range, because when I first collected, I'm like, okay, I only need 3 Wolverine dice, right? I was wrong. Russ, what's your next card?
So I know everybody likes Formerly Weapon 10. It's an amazing card. It +4 when he attacks. I personally like Knucklehead. It's a super rare. It's a 6 cost, so it's a little bit more. But there's a reason I like that 6 cost as opposed to the 4. And when he attacks alone, he cannot be blocked. So he's got pretty good stats, 5, 6, 8. But I pair this with Iron Fist. I feel like I've been talking a lot about Iron Fist lately.
And X-23. Somebody's been brewing with X-23.
If by lately you mean since it came out, yes, you've been talking about Iron Fist a lot lately.
So Iron Fist, and this is what I played, I think, in one of the WKOs or PDC, I can't remember. And I made top 2 or 4 with just Knucklehead and Iron Fist. So what I would do is I would attack with Knucklehead. He's going to go through. He stays in the used pile. And on my opponent's pass priority, Blue Eyes Iron Fist, he's a 5-cost fist character, or over 5-cost fist character, bring him to my prep area, rinse and repeat every turn. So that's why I actually like the 6 cost as opposed to the 4 cost, because I just keep cycling that through.
And he is one of the max 3 dice in this set, which he has a max 4 version, and if you look at the OP version, is a max 2. So Wolverine's all over the board.
What the heck?
It's his various forms of regeneration, you know?
Right. Right.
Yeah, I guess. Flavor win. Now explain Nick Fury.
All right, so let's see, what else? So one of the ones I actually think that doesn't get talked about, because his super rare counterpart is ridiculous, is Green Goblin, the rare Norman Osborn. I love it. His ability is, when fielded, you may roll up to 2 sidekick dice from your used pile. Okay, that's cool and all, but it's his global that's beautiful, is you pay a bolt, knock out one of your sidekick characters to deal 2 damage to a target character. Most of you guys have seen me use it to very great effect in my Batman team, because I'll just KO Alfred, field the level 3 Batman, capture one of your guys, use the 2 to KO another Alfred if I need to, or if you only have a sidekick left, do that and just swing into an open field.
Yeah.
And
it's weird that it's only on that global is only on the one version of Gabi. Mm-hmm.
And I think that they were kind of still playing with the rarities and how the abilities are featured on each of them.
Yeah, definitely.
Because this one was definitely, because this is the rare version, of course, and they were trying to make rares rare.
Well, you find some of that with Yu-Gi-Oh! Also, which I believe Yu-Gi-Oh! Was technically the first set that they designed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But in those early sets, they weren't sure exactly how they wanted to spread out the globals, it seemed.
Yep. So, Ken, we have one last character that we haven't talked about yet, because we decided to all pick two of them, and trust me, that was hard to just whittle them down to two. But this one is super memorable for me, because the first time I saw you in a competitive environment use this, and you just smashed faces.
Yeah, it's probably still my favorite win con in the game, and that is the rare Doc Ock. When Dr. Octopus is blocked by more than one character, he deals his full attack value and damage to each character blocking him instead of having to split it. Now, his attack stats are 4-4, 4-8, and 8-8, so if he's on his big side, you can do 8 damage to a bunch of different characters. Great board clear. That's fun. Add in Overcrush, and all of that damage to each character overcrushes. What I've done is used that with a force block, force all the sidekicks to block. If there's 3 sidekicks that I can force to block him, when he has Overcrush, that's 21 damage coming through. And the more blockers you add, the bigger it gets.
Disgusting.
It is so... It's like exponential growth. I remember I attacked Steve in a competitive thing, and it was coming through for like 24 damage. And he says, well, what about if I add these ones into the block? Because he was looking at...
It's 36 damage.
Yeah, he was looking at trying to knock out my Dr. Octopus, because his defense doesn't change, you know? So he was looking at, well, if I add these ones, then I could actually knock him out. And I was like, well, yeah, you can, but now I'm hitting you for like 32 or 36 or whatever it was. It jumped it up even more, and he just looked defeated, felt defeated. I had a quick link to the ruling in the rule book that states that that is a legal move, or in the rules
forum,
not rule book, but in the forum, because going into the event, it wasn't a very popular, very used win con, and I was ready for people to go, that's not how that works. That can't be. That's not, no. So I had it ready to go, and it is how it works, and it is ugly, and it's super, super fun to use. And at a 6 cost shield, he's not even that expensive.
Listening to that makes me want to pair it up, and it's probably overkill, but I want to pair it up with Lady Bullseye.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Forget
that is,
you, man.
Really, if you go beyond what I just said, a force block with something to give it overcrush, usually Hulk out. If you go beyond that, it is overcrush, like the overkill. It just doesn't matter what you add on to it.
It'd be double damage.
Yeah,
make him an Avengers and pair him up with Patch
too.
There you go.
Yeah, there's any version of adding to it is so much overkill, because by himself with overcrush, he is overkill.
Still want to try it.
You absolutely should try it.
That's the challenge, when it's like, see how much damage you can deal to your opponent in the final blow.
I still have to try to get more than 109 attack on my field, since that's what Ken sent me.
Yeah, that was fun. The real challenge would be see how much you can get with just Doc Ock. Right. See if you can hit that 100 mark with just one single character.
All right, so we've kind of covered the two. Do you guys want to do any quick mentions of other cards? Because this set, as I said earlier, it's really, really hard to whittle down. I mean, because I know one of the ones that I wanted to mention was Punisher McRook.
That's an awesome card. One thing that I wish they wouldn't have gotten away from that they have is the 2-cost Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze. It just has parenthetical text that says, no special effects, just a low-cost die with good numbers. Now, that's not entirely true anymore, but
that should be on Hal Jordan Common.
Yeah, I like that they put...
Oh, my gosh.
I like that they put something on what is a blank card. It would be cool to do that with more of the new ones, and whether it's something like this, talking about the game, or maybe something, some sort of character reference, like how half the Deadpool set has character references as subtitles.
that are, you know, like tongue in cheek. They could do that. I wish that they would do more with the blank cards.
That's what a lot of other collectible cards do. Yu-Gi-Oh, if it's a blank card with no ability, it has flavor text on it. I think that would be awesome if they decided.
But I do like the blank foil ones.
Those look so good. Yeah.
My favorite burn card in the game in a bird type team is Colossus Rare. He deals 2 damage at the end of your turn to your opponent for each level 2 or higher character you have in your field. So you get a bunch of cheap characters in your field, you're just burning. And he's the kind of thing in the field, you look across, you're like, I'm gonna die if I don't do something here quick.
That clock is going once he's there.
You get a wall with him, and it's just impossible.
It's really fun in a game to be like, sure, I'll roll these, and I end my turn, you're dead. I've done that plenty.
Yep. Yeah. I have an honorable mention. I'd like Iron Man Philanthropist. He's a 5 cost, so he's a little bit more expensive than some of his other versions. But his is, each time Iron Man takes damage, you gain 1 life. And on level 3, you gain 2 life instead. So you pair that up with Static or something, and on your opponent's turn, if he's on level 3, you can gain 4 life every turn. Just ping him twice. I think that he's actually a really viable life gain option. And this is one thing that I've always been wanting, is I've been wanting a constant, consistent life gain source. And
hey, and it was there since the beginning of the game. You've always wanted it, and it's always been there.
They knew what you wanted.
But now it's more accessible with this new card. So, but I really like him.
Yeah. Human Torch is another one that I think deserves an honorable mention. Each time you field a character, he does 1 damage to your opponent and 1 to a target character. That is ridiculous burn. I've won games without attacking using him.
Mm-hmm. I also like his common in the starter that's with the global pay a bolt deal. When you deal damage with an action die or a global ability to deal 1 extra damage to 1 target, you guys can do the math that it may pair well with another card I mentioned earlier in this segment.
Yeah, and maybe like a power bolt or something like that.
So we want to hear what your guys' favorite AVX cards are. I know, because we've talked about the little less ones. Like we said, we know those Black Widows, those Gobbies, and
The Thing. And the Tell us about how great The Thing is.
Yeah, if you were a fan of The Thing.
I've tried to make him work.
Yeah.
I will say this. I'm going to plug Scarecrow and Killer Frost again, because there's so much talk about Green Goliath out there.
Yeah, Green Goliath is one of the big power cards from this set.
Put Killer Frost or Scarecrow on the field and let them ping their Hulk all they want.
Yep, doesn't matter anymore after that point.
Let us know what your favorite cards are. Shoot us an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net, or on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. Gentlemen, it is always a blast to hang out with you guys, and thinking that this game now has been out for 2, almost 3 years now, I'm glad that it brought me together to meet you guys, so thanks so much.
And check out our new Marvel Dice Masters Deadpool set.
Boom.
Just released.
Sunday.
And that's it for this episode of the Double Burst Podcast. We would love to hear from you guys. Have you used You've Been Chosen before? Or what's your favorite Avengers versus X-Men card? Shoot us an email, doubleburst@ktdata.net, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doubleburst. Of course, check out doubleburst.com for our past episodes, articles, and a place to subscribe to this show. Because it's Black Friday, we'll give you a deal. You can subscribe for free. Just kidding. It's always free. And when you do, you automatically get the show. Big thanks to Game Haven Sandy for giving us a place to record. We appreciate it. Make sure you guys check them out, yourgamehaven.com. And big thanks to you guys. Everybody from the team appreciates you guys listening. And until next time, my friends, may your dice rolls be ever in your favor.